good to be in the house of the Lord. I say it every single time I get up in a pulpit. There's no better place that I'd rather be. There's no better place that you could ever be than in the house of the Lord. If you've got your Bible, and I hope you do, turn over to Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1. I was going between a couple different things to preach on this morning as Brother Ray Brown was preaching. I was kind of going in between a few, or whether the Lord would want me to preach something I've already preached, or, you know, give me something new. And then he had said something in the service, and the Lord just kind of confirmed it in my heart that he wants me to preach this, so I'll preach it to the how he leads. Jonah chapter number 1, we'll read all of the first chapter. We'll kind of skip around in the book of Jonah. It says in verse number 1 in chapter 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried unto every man unto his God, and cast forth their wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, and we will perish, and we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceeding afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? The sea wrought and was temptress. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was temptress against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights. If we look in verse number 2, it shows us Jonah wasn't an awful, wretched sinner. He wasn't just some awful person. He was close enough to God that God could speak to him, and Jonah could clearly hear him. He clearly heard that God had told him to go on to Nineveh. But he, through his disobedience, he went out of his way to go to Tarshish. Now, every time I read this, I always pictured, because we've all read this, we've all heard the Jonah in the whale, I mean, countless times. I couldn't even count on my hands or feet and combine how many times I've heard this story. And I always wondered how far away that Joppa and Tarshish and Joppa and Nineveh was. Well, I looked it up. And if we look on the map, Israel's right here, and Joppa was about right, you know, right in Israel. And Tarshish is in Spain. Tarshish is on the coast of Spain to the ocean. And Nineveh is inland, the opposite way, heading eastward. He was going in the opposite direction of where the Lord wanted him to go. Where the Lord had told him to go, what the Lord told him to do, Jonah went in the exact opposite and some. The trip from Joppa to Nineveh is 550 miles. Now, that's a long way to be walking, but 2,500 miles on a ship to Tarshish, that's a long ways. From Joppa to Tarshish is 2,500 miles. That's where Jonah was headed. He was going in the opposite direction and some. So we see his direct disobedience to God, but he was close enough for God to speak to him. And what it means to be close enough to God, being in fellowship with God, is to walk with him. And we, every time I hear that, I think of Enoch walking with God. Genesis 5 and 22, Enoch walked with God, being in fellowship with God. Fellowship with God, Proverbs 18 and 24, and there is a friend that is closer than a brother. But to have that fellowship, to walk with God, there has to be two-way conversation, to read and to pray. And I think in spiritual life, that right there, I know at least from my personal life, that right there is the hardest thing for me to really get down, is to read and to pray enough. And we honestly could never read enough. We could never pray enough. But I think that right there is, at least in my life, the hardest thing for me to get down is to read enough, is to get to where I can read and be comfortable with just, I mean, word for word. That's the hardest thing for me to do. And I'm going about my day, that's the hardest thing for me to do, is just stop what I'm doing and just pray. And that right there is the key to a great walk with God, is to read and to pray. God speaks to us through his word, and we can speak to him through our prayers. But what does prayer do for, or what does the word do for us? Well, it purifies us. It gives us a purpose to each situation that we're going through. If it gives consecration, it seals us, it teaches us, and it titles us. I think sometimes, at least, like I said, in my life, that right there could be an underlying reason why we might not read. Is because we've read something in the past and it brought out something that we were doing, and we're comfortable in, but we ought not be doing it. But it titles us. It shows us who we truly are, exposes our weaknesses, and it exposes our sin. Natural humans don't want their weaknesses shown out. They want their strongest suits, their strongest emotions going to come out. We're trying to show the best of ourselves. That's just human nature. But the Word of God, it exposes us. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down some verses to maybe look over. We ain't got time right now. But if you're writing notes, put down Romans 7, 24, Luke 5 and 8, Jeremiah 4, 22, Psalm 73 and 22, Job 8 and 9, Genesis 6 and 5, Proverbs chapter 29 through verse 11, and go over that later. Like I said, we ain't got time right now. But each one of those verses just tells us who we really are, who we truly are as a person. We are terrible people. I mean, we're opposite to God. That's why there's so many commandments in the Bible. Every command that's in the Bible, that's not human nature. That's why the Bible has to give it to us, is because that's human nature. If it was human nature for us to do this or do that, we wouldn't have to have anybody to tell us to do it. And then what does prayer do for us? It's answered, and it's heard, and it helps. I don't know why in my life I don't stop and pray about a certain situation. I just seem to fret about it. I just seem to overthink about it. I don't know why I do that. I reckon it's just human nature. But I don't know why we don't just stop every so often. When life seems to start getting a little harder, or our minds start to race about different situations, and just let go and let God take care of it. That would be so much better for us to do. Walking with God also helps, it also includes having faith. My favorite book, or my favorite chapter or passage, whatever you want to call it, is in Hebrews chapter 11. The entire book is on faith. It's about having faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I love that. Love that book, that whole chapter right there. Those who were in that chapter, there was, I want to say it was something like 21 or 22 people that are mentioned in there, and they're famous heroes in the Bible for their faith. Those who were especially noted were Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, and Samuel, so on and so forth. But they're noted for their faith. They're noted for how God told them to do something, and they did it. Now, were they perfect? Absolutely not. Every one of them had sin in their life. Every one of them struggled with something. But I notice one person in particular is not in there. And that's who we just got done reading about, is Jonah. Did he end up going to do what the Lord had told him to do? Yes. But God made him do it. I mean, he was swallowed up by a large fish, a fish that God had prepared. It had to take him to where God wanted him to go, and it spit him out on the land. I mean, God literally had to forcefully put him over there because of how wicked Nineveh was. Once you're walking with God and close enough to hear His voice, once we start reading His Word and praying and listening and obeying and having faith, once we're walking with Him to clearly hear His voice, don't be like Jonah, and when God tells you to go somewheres and do something, you go completely out of your way to do the exact opposite. I mean, like Jonah literally went the exact opposite way out on the Mediterranean Sea for 2,300. His plan was to go 2,300 or 2,500 miles out of his way to just not do what God told him to do. And what I want to title this message is, what's holding you back? What was holding Jonah back from serving God? He didn't have any reason to go to Tarshish. I mean, he had no reason to go from Joppa to Tarshish. Absolutely no reason. He had every reason in the world, because God told him, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. But instead, he thought he'd do his own thing. He thought he'd pay his own fare and go to Tarshish. But God had other plans for him. But we ought not, if we start getting close to God, whether we're close to God or not, we ought not go completely against what God is telling us and going the exact opposite way. We ought not do that. List of people who did not obey God, Adam and Eve. I mean, that goes back to the very beginning of humanity. Adam and Eve, Cain, Jonah, Eli and his sons, King Saul, even David and Aaron, Moses and Solomon, and you know, it goes on. But those ones right there, I mean, they were, some of those were great heroes of the faith. David, I mean, Solomon was the smartest man. He had the most everything. But still, he disobeyed. In several areas of his life, he disobeyed. King Saul disobeyed. And all of which were punished by God in some way or fashion. So what's holding you back? What's holding me back from doing what the Lord would have us to do, or doing, giving glory and honor to God? There shouldn't be any reason that we could ever come up with to say, oh, that's why I can't do this, or that's why I can't do that. God told me to do this, but I think it'd be better to go to Tarshish. We shouldn't have any excuse. There is no excuse to go away from God and what He's told us to do. So what's holding you back? What's holding me back from testifying? I mean, God's done a lot for us. I mean, if we're able to sit in a church and the doors don't have to be locked, I'm looking at the door right now, it's unlocked. I mean, in a lot of places, even in America, they have to lock the doors. And we're in a free country. There shouldn't be any, I mean, considering we're free, we shouldn't have to lock the doors. But there are places that have to lock the doors, or there'll be people coming in and shooting up the place. I mean, there are. I mean, we hear church shootings quite often. There's never been one person step through that door and fire off a shot in Mission Hill Baptist Church. There's never been one person. And yet we sit here. I'm not just preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to myself. We sit here and does anybody have something to say for the Lord? We just sit here. There shouldn't be any reason why we shouldn't get up and sing. I mean, I could go on about that, but what's holding us back? What's holding us back from serving God to our fullest extent? Is it pride? Is it pride in ourselves? Do we think that much of ourselves that we can't testify or that we can't sing? We're not singing for ourselves. We're singing for the Lord. We're not. If you're singing for yourself, then you shouldn't be singing. But we ought to be singing toward giving glory and honor to God. We should be magnifying His name, lifting up our voices, and testifying of His goodness in our life. I mean, we're blessed beyond measure. I know at least I am. I'm blessed beyond measure. I have a mom and a dad. I have family and friends. I mean, I'm a very blessed person compared to, like, a majority of just the United States, let alone the rest of the world. People who have to look out for food. I don't have to look out for food. I went to the grocery store yesterday, mom and dad, everybody else. I'm by myself at the house. I went out, bought groceries for $10, and I was able to eat my food. I didn't have to wander around and ask and beg for people's money and beg for food. I'm a blessed person. We're blessed people to just be in the house of the Lord, but let alone to be able to come here twice, three times in a week. We're blessed people, and yet we sit on the pews sometimes silent. And don't say anything about the Lord. Don't say anything about what He's done for us. Think of what, sometime or another, just sit down when you have a minute, or make time for a minute. Just sit down and think of the people that you grew up with, or the people that you know in your life before you got saved. Just think of those people and where they're at. And just think of where you could have been. If you really think about that and then look at what your life is now, think of the blessings that you have now. It'll far outweigh what they've got. Any kind of things that they might have, anything that you have now is going to far outseed it once you're saved. So what's holding us back from testifying and giving God the glory? It might be sin. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Is there sin in our lives that we're too afraid to, I've got that in my life and I can't seem to get over it. I can't, you know, it's weighing in the back of your mind. Like I said, let it go and give it to God. But give it, whatever God has in store is gonna far exceed whatever that sin in your, that might be in your life or that might be in my life, that whatever God has, whatever you give it up for, is gonna far out exceed whatever that might be. We have redemption through Christ, like Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have a redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. It might have what's holding you back, or what's holding me back, might be someone rejected us, or a church might have been crooked and rejected us, or we feel rejected by everybody else. But in Titus chapter 2, verse number 14, this is my favorite book of favorite verse, favorite passage. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar peculiar people, zealous of good works. Who gave himself for us. When the world seems like it's turned their back on you, when your friends or your family seems like they've turned their back on you, open up your Bible. Go to John 3:16. Go somewhere in the Bible where, go to where Jesus had died on the cross. Go to Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It might be pride in our life that's holding us back from giving God the glory. In Proverbs 11, I mean, there's verses on verses on verses about pride, but this one right here is the one I wrote down in Proverbs 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Do I feel sometimes that, oh, I'm, you know, if I stand up, you know, I might mess up, or, you know, I might say the wrong thing. Do I think that much of myself that I'd be afraid to say something a little out instead of giving God the glory and honor for the blessings that he's put in my life? Do I think myself that much? Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Be lowly before God, listen to his voice, and obey his words, and follow after righteousness. Whether it be sin, whether it be you feel rejected, or whether it be pride, or a number of other things, whatever it might be holding you back, let them go and give it to God. Don't give it to the world. Don't give it to some therapist. The therapist is just as lost as you are with the troubles that you may have. Don't give it to another person. Another person's might just lead you down the wrong road. Give it to God. He's got something far exceeding than what you are even worrying about. He's got something far exceeding that in his mind. So what's holding you back and what's holding me back?